it's close. Will the S&P 500 stock index close up or down for the year? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The S&P 500 in early trading was down 0.3% since the beginning of January, meaning, depending on how things go on this last trading session of the year, that key stock index could be positive or negative for 2016. Let's say Happy New Year to Diane Swonk, Chief Economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago.
Happy New Year.
I'm not quite saying the same Happy New Year about share prices, at least if you look at the index, the S&P 500. You know, treaded water here for the year.
Not sure it exactly treaded water. I think some of it was like a monsoon. This was a real choppy ride. We were up well over 18,000, nipping close to 19,000 on the S&P and or on the Dow. And now, you know, we're back down to sort of where we started the year. So it seems treading water. But I think there was a lot more work in it for anyone who was an investor out on Wall Street or those traders who are making bets. I know traders. Traders make bets a lot.
Do you see a number like this connected to the real economy where you and I live and breathe? Or is the stock market have sort of a different logic here as we're getting into 2016?
Well, actually, I see what's going on is somewhat positive. I think we're finally handing off the baton from Wall Street to Main Street. And what we're going to be looking at this year is if we finally don't tread water for wages. What we want to see is wages rise, consumers pick up. They have been carrying the economy for a little over a year now, and they're doing better. We enter the year with a little more optimism. We need some more wages out there to regain some ground lost. And I think that's going to be the theme of this year. Do we really get there? We won't get all the way to where we need to be, but I think we're going to feel a lot better on Main Street, perhaps than Wall Street, as it has a turbulent ride still ahead of it.
Well, it's actually a good note. Maybe we should report hour-to-hour average hourly earnings instead of these crazy stock market indicators.
I think that would be something welcome news. And average hourly earnings going up instead of staying flat, that would be something we'd all welcome. And so would Wall Street, because it would mean finally this economy is getting a little bit of a temperature to it instead of being tepid.
Diane Swonk, Chief Economist at Mesirow Financial. Talk to you in about a week.
Happy New Year.
In the United Kingdom, parliamentary lawyers have been hard at work drafting a bill which could best be described as legislative house cleaning or even legal refuse collection. The bill is designed to clean up the statute book there, to repeal some of the quaint, outdated, and sometimes offensive laws that remain in force. For example, under one ancient English statute, it is illegal to beat a wife after 9 o'clock at night out of noise considerations. From the House of Commons in London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports on the cleaning up of vestigial laws.
The Queen commands this Honourable House.
After 900 years of lawmaking, this Parliament has amassed many curious relics. These leather-bound statute books, some dating back to the Middle Ages, contain provisions never formally repealed. Nigel Cawthorne, author of The Strange Laws of Old England.
Often when they are introducing new laws, they simply amend old laws and odd clauses get stuck by the wayside.
And are still technically in force today.
It is illegal to fire a cannon within 300 yards of a dwelling house. It's illegal to eat a mute swan, unless you're the Queen, of course. And it's illegal to beat a carpet in the street, although you can shake a mat before 8 o'clock in the morning.
It's also illegal to enter Parliament wearing a suit of armour, but the lawmakers are determined to drag the British statute book into the 21st century. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. It's the time of year when we take stock of ourselves and how we can improve. We can exercise more. We can eat less salt, less meat, less kombucha. It may also be a time to work on how we behave at work. Keith Ferrazzi is the CEO of Ferrazzi Greenlight, a research-based consulting and training company. Good morning to you, Keith.
Good morning, David.
So you hang out with fancy executives, and sometimes they have weird habits.
Not just weird habits, but in many regards, debilitative habits. I am absolutely shocked within the hallowed halls of large corporations how many times you bump up against very successful executives who are holding themselves back. I've come to call these behaviors addictions. We all have small addictions. It may not be smoking, but we have procrastination. We have temper. We have conflict avoidance. We have bragging. We have shaming people in our feedback. They hold us back and we do them anyway. That's an addiction.
So if one has a drinking problem, there are some time-tested methods that have helped many people. You would like to borrow from that construct.
Well, we all know what the first step is, isn't it? We've got to admit that we have a problem. So the most important thing for us is to stop being ashamed of our ridiculous behaviors and just recognize it's the stupid stuff that makes us human. Yes, I have a temper. Yes, I brag. So admit your problem. Pick one.
So the first step is the famous step. Give me a couple more steps. Not all 12, but give me a couple of them, Keith.
The other thing is to live your life in daily consultation. This is a real tenet of the 12-step program where you have a sponsor or a buddy. So what I advise executives to do is to find an individual that you're really going to trust and feel safe with, and let that individual know that this is a behavior you're working on. And let that individual know that when you feel that behavior coming on or right after you've done it, it's okay. You call a friend and say, hey, I'm just bookending this. Right before I go into this meeting, I'd like to let you know I'm paying attention to this.
But the key is to find the right person.
Exactly. Find somebody that feels safe and that you trust. You've got to make sure that you enlist the people around you if you feel comfortable enough in just asking other people for help in advance.
Keith Ferrazzi, CEO of Ferrazzi Greenlight. Among his books, Who's Got Your Back? Keith, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And the flagship Toys R Us store in New York's Times Square has just closed for good. The fancy one with the Ferris wheel inside, a tourist destination for many with kids in tow. Times Square real estate just got too expensive, and now Toys R Us is looking for new space somewhere in Manhattan. For now, you'll just have to plan a trip to the one in the local mall, where it should be almost as fun, right? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.